Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. It's time once again for the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly podcast of the true, unusual, bizarre, exciting, adventurous, often hilarious, incredible, and just weird, true life stories told by the people who experience them. As always, I am one of your hosts, Adam Beebe, and also, as always, is your other host with me, Mr. Barry Johnston. Hello, Barry.
How are you, Professor? How are things?
I am doing well. Thank you, Smiling Sensei.
How was your week last week? I know you did a little traveling.
I did do some traveling. It was a quick trip to go and see my nephew, my sister's oldest boy, graduate from high school.
Nice, nice.
It was in the middle of the week, which was weird. But so it was on a Wednesday. So I flew out on Tuesday. I was supposed to leave here around 3:30.
Okay.
So then it got bumped back. And then it got bumped, my departure time got bumped.
Of course.
You know, and I had a connection in Charlotte. And I was, you know, I was going to have like about a 2 hour wait because it's not a long flight from Charlotte to Cincy. But I still had to, I had to wait. And then, eventually I don't leave Cincinnati until after 8.
Oh man.
P.M.
Damn.
At one point they canceled my flight and put me on another flight to land in a different airport, which is further for my almost 80-year-old mother to drive.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't have been getting in till very late at night. And they did that on their own. The airline did that on their own. They didn't consult me. They just told me.
Of course.
And so then I like had to go and get them to cancel that because I didn't approve it, and to go get eventually finally was able to get back on the other flight. But I got in. I didn't get into the other airport until after midnight.
Oh my gosh, man!
Yeah, dude.
Oh wow!
It sucked. It sucked because I missed flights. I missed several, potential flights, and it wasn't just me. It wasn't just our flight. It was all over. There was, I guess, some bad weather.
Okay.
And so it shut down Dallas for a while, and Dallas is one of the major hubs, you know?
Yeah.
And so it just screwed everybody and everything.
I think Dallas got hit with a tornado down there.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah. So,
you know, and even if there's not bad weather these days, it seems like flights are always getting canceled. Delayed. Yep. I'm sorry that you had to deal with that, man.
Yeah, so anyway, I got in super late, and then the next day was the graduation. So we went to graduation and did all of that. And then there was, you know, we
had how big of a school? How many graduated?
I don't know. Not a lot, not like what I thought. I thought it was going to be much bigger because it's kind of a bigger town.
Okay.
But it wasn't as big. But probably, you know, under 200.
Oh, that's great. That's great. But
Yeah. Because I was thinking it's going to be like 300 or something like that. It's outside.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's south, so it's
hot. Oh, yeah.
And we're sitting in the bleachers.
Oh, yeah.
And baking. The bleachers are there. Well, I say the bleachers, they're stands. They're not bleachers. It's concrete. They don't have seats. Oh. And so I don't have much of a, you know, I've got the, you know, the white man's disease, which means, which is no acetol. So, you know, I got a flat butt and it's bony. And so sitting on a, on concrete for, you know, a couple of hours in the heat and all of that is just, you know, not fun, not fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, it's okay. It was, you know, my nephew graduated and he, you know, it was for him. It was his day.
Yeah.
And so then there's also, we had all sorts of, you know, family things and dinners and goings on and stuff like that. But I was able to get the younger nephew, I was able to steal him away one morning to go and do a little bit of record shopping.
Oh, nice, man.
To show him, you know, we found a new place for both of us.
Cool.
And, I found some stuff, and he found him, he bought himself a Thin Lizzy record, Jailbreak.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
That's what he wanted.
Wow.
All this stuff.
And I'm impressed. Yeah, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's got a really, he has got a really eclectic, taste in music.
Like, interesting.
I asked him because he just got a record player for Christmas last year.
Yeah.
Or this last past Christmas. And so he's slowly piecing together a, an album collection. And before we went, I asked him what his, you know, what his favorite albums were. And he's like, oh, I've got this Childish Gambino one. It's, you know, it's not as much hip hop, but it's more like a psychedelic and R&B and very soulful. And, you know, he's 15, you know, these are not things that I was really keying into on.
At 15.
You know, I was much later. I wasn't listening to the, you know, I wouldn't, my tastes weren't quite sophisticated that like that yet. I was just, you know, still listening to maybe some of the later Beatles as opposed to the early years and, you know, the druggy stuff. And then, you know, some maybe and getting into the Doors and, you know, maybe REM, I don't know, but, maybe DC Talk still, probably not, but, you know, I was still very much in my, burgeoning of getting into, you know, more broad aspect of music. So I asked him, you know, like what he listens to the most, and he says, well, here's my Childish Gambino. And I think I told you just that, And he's like, well, and also, you know, here's this Sade record that I really I couldn't find any of her albums.
Damn.
So I had to get this greatest hits, you know, and it's kind of like, well, you know, I wanted the, you know, how to get a greatest hits.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, and then he's like, but the thing I listen to the most is probably, you know, Michael Jackson Thriller. Because the production is just so, and he started going off about the production and nerding out. So he's like, you know, he really knows his stuff.
Where does he find music? How does he key into this stuff?
I don't know. I think that a big thing is probably his Discover Weekly on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
But at the same time, I know that he also said he wasn't really like what they put up there, but he makes lists. So he starts making lists and he's starting to do stuff like, I want to know more about this. I'm going to make a 70s list.
I love it, man. Wow.
I'm going to do this. And, you know, and he's learning more. And then he's like telling me, how he likes, you know, what his favorite, Radiohead album is, and, you know,
damn,
and,
man,
what he's talking about, I was trying to describe shoegaze music to him. He's like, so would the Deftones be shoegaze? I was like, yeah, actually, that's a very good intro to shoegaze kind of a thing, you know?
For sure. And that, man, this is a smart kid, and he's got great taste in music, man.
Yeah, and he was saying he's like, he even like, he was talking about the blues, how he likes to listen to the blues, but, you know, only because once he started playing guitar and really learning guitar, he was able to appreciate it.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, I still can't really get into the blues.
You know, I'm with you on that. I certainly respect blues players, you know. And I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think he was amazing. But yeah, the blues are tough. If you're a hardcore rock and roller, sometimes the blues can be a little bit challenging. Not because it's difficult to understand. It's just a way stripped down version of what I enjoy, you know, because I'm a child of my time.
Yeah.
And I didn't discover, it's funny. It's so interesting to hear young kids talk about these bands that we grew up on. And it's like, even back then, you kind of had to be an audiophile to appreciate these bands.
Oh, yeah.
For him to like embrace that, and that shows that he's got a high level of IQ when it comes to music and understanding what good music is, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that the range is all over the place. That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I also turned him on to American football because he likes the guitar. And like, great. He likes textural things. He likes things that have got some complications to it, you know?
That's great.
And I'm like, in production, I'm like, dude, check this out. Check this band out.
Yeah. You know? That's like, great, man.
So
that's cool. So really how long did you spend in the record store?
Oh, let's see. We didn't have terribly long, but it was at least an hour.
Was he kind of dumbfounded? It was like where to start, or did he have a plan? He had a plan to go in and look for.
Well, I think he was dumbfounded, but I'll tell you what happened is I went in and I found this tapes section, and then the owner walks by and he's like, "Yeah, man, my man, tapes." And so we started talking.
Okay.
And I made friends with this guy, Sean. So we made friends and we talked about tapes and we talked about music and just the stuff that we were into. Cause you know, the growing up in that Gen X era of the really big, you know, the tape stuff and, how fun they are. And so we sat there and we talked about that. And we talked about he played in some bands. And we talked about, you know, the bands I played with and, just as you do, you tend to, when you go into a record store and you got like, I don't know, you can vibe with people, you're in your element, right? Which is why I was a great employee at a record store, which
music
I
love.
Also at a comic shop, I can talk to you about whatever.
Absolutely.
We stayed in there for about an hour, and then we had to go back and do all the other more family stuff. But
For you youngsters out there, the record store was really a place you would go to, and you would rely on, if it was a good record store, you would rely on the people that worked there to point you in a direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember so many times walking into a record store, looking around, and then realize I'm loving whatever they're playing over the speakers, right? Yep. So then you go up to the front desk, you're like, who is this, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that happened multiple times, and often bands that you couldn't really hear because they weren't on the radio, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There was always
TV.
Right.
We didn't have YouTube and...
Yes. Yeah. Underground stuff, you know? It was... So that's so cool, man. That sounds like a great trip, man. And, we made friends with our guest today, and she is so great. We had such a great conversation with her, and this was one that I appreciated her stories and kind of where we went with the conversation.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with Perla, who joins us. And this is a cryptid episode.
Yeah.
And we haven't had one of those in a while. And it's really, really cool. And like you said, we had a great conversation that spun out of it. So let's go ahead and jump into it with our poetess friend, Perla. Perla, the poetess. Perla, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
So my story begins when I was in elementary school, maybe 6 or 7. I'm not really sure. But I was staying at my grandma's house and near the Gulf of Mexico. And I was watching a live news segment. And back then, you know, I didn't really understand what was going on. But a news helicopter was following a huge shape in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm.
And they the news people were talking about it, trying to figure out what it was. It had been moving for a while at kind of a slow pace, and it had a very distinct shape, and it ended up just ending. And so I never found out what it was.
Okay.
And I've asked around trying to figure out, has anyone else remember seeing them? And it was not until getting into school and seeing pictures of obviously Nessie and like other marine reptiles where I was like, okay, this looks like a plesiosaurus. And so that's what really got me started in my interest in marine reptiles and Nessie, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's super exciting. I just wish somebody was part of that, was, you know, remembers that, and we could figure it out together.
Sure.
Yeah. And so last year while I was writing my, I was actually finishing my poetry book, we took a trip to Scotland, and I actually didn't want to go to Loch Ness because I was like waiting for my brother to come with me. It was a whole thing. We're both like Nessie lovers. And, but it turns out that like any excursions, you know, like bus tours, they all include a trip to Loch Ness.
Okay.
So my husband and I went, and we did not go with the rest of our bus tour onto the boat tour because I was like, oh no, we like to kind of explore on our own.
Yeah.
And so we went to where no one else was. We kind of just walked along the waterline and set up a little picnic where there were a bunch of ducks. And I love checking out the rocks from, you know, mountains and all the other lochs in Scotland that we went to.
Yeah.
So I just went up to the water's edge, and it's super murky, by the way. I don't know if y'all have gone.
Nope.
It is.
It's bucket black. List for sure.
Yeah. It is black water.
Okay.
Like you cannot see in there. So I was just kind of like grabbing some of the rocks and then bringing up out of the water, just kind of looking at it, you know, to see like, oh, what's going on in here?
Yeah.
And I found some really amazing rocks that are just covered in like silver shimmery, like it's amazing. And I found like seven of them. So that's a lot, you know, for a tiny area. So they must be, you know, throughout that area a lot. And but I've heard from other people who haven't seen anything like that there. And people on the bus tour, I mean, that were on our bus tour that didn't come with us, they didn't see anything like that. And I've talked to some other people that, you know about the whole Loch Ness, Nessie stuff, and they thought it'd be interesting, you know, to maybe get it tested or something. I haven't yet, so
okay.
If anyone knows people to do that, that would be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just so interesting.
Did you try to crack one open or no?
They're so small.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're very small, so I don't think it'd do much.
Yeah, gotcha.
And so you said it was kind of shimmery, silvery, like metallic or like
yes, metallic.
Huh.
Wow.
And these are basically like little pebbles, like just underneath, just by the beach or something.
Yeah, like as big as like a man's thumb. I'm looking at my thumb and I'm like, no, that's too small.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a skipping stone is what it sounds kind of like.
Right. You know,
Wow.
Interesting.
What are your thoughts on it?
I have a friend who's a little more into, you know, geology stuff than I am. I just like pretty rocks. You know, like gemstones, but Perla, you know, so gemstones, but yeah, he was like, maybe, you know, there was a meteoroid here at one time, and I was like, that, you know, could make sense.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't explain the Nessie stuff, but it could be a piece of the puzzle, and yeah, I just, it'd be awesome to find out.
Yeah.
And it's cool to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, when we went, it was right after, they had a, like, the biggest search for Nessie by professionals like the weekend before we went. So I was upset I missed it. But then I was like, no one talked about this though.
What are your thoughts on Nessie?
Did you see anything? First of all,
yeah, right.
Before we get into the thoughts, did you see anything?
I went in not expecting to see anything just because I do not want to be disappointed.
Right.
Let me tell you, I didn't. But I tried really hard, you guys.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe people are too nice to Nessie. So I like threw my half my sandwich in the water and I was like, eat it, you fatty. No, it didn't work. It didn't work. So
in the paranormal world, I think that's the Zach Bagans approach. It's the taunting of the
provoke it.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Provoke.
Right. It didn't work. So I think it's not going to happen.
Yeah. But.
But I am part of like all like different Facebook Nessie groups that are like saying, you know, it's a ghost of a plesiosaurus and, you know, the whole, portal kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's wild. I definitely think something's going on.
For sure.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. People. Yeah, they claim to have seen really compelling things. People that see this thing, you know, and
yeah,
it's fascinating,
and especially for like sightings to be all over, including in the U.S.
Right. Right.
And then obviously with this whole Gulf of Mexico story, like,
right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there could be. Could be something somewhere.
Yeah. Champ Lake.
Yeah.
The,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Lake Champlain. Yeah. We had a gentleman on a couple of times and he was one of the guys that would investigate and,
He went out quite a few times. Yeah. Scott did.
Yeah. Funded awesome. Expeditions and stuff. And
yeah,
he was
for Lake Champlain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you gone to any other, you know, any other lake monster chasing? Have you done anything like that?
I haven't. So I am only outdoorsy in the cold.
Okay.
Okay. And I get that.
Yep.
No, I totally get that. I am way more into winter than I am into summer or spring.
Right.
Or early fall. Give me cold. I love it. So, yeah, I get
right.
You.
Yeah. So, like, yeah.
That makes it difficult for the.
Yeah, I say this in one of my poems, but like, I have chronic pain, and part of it is like, I swell up in the heat.
Oh.
So, that is why, like, it was so great to go to Scotland because it was cold and rainy the whole time. Because if it's rainy, I'm not going to get a migraine from the sun.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was the perfect hiking weather for me.
Yeah. That trip over there is one I've have to make. I have to get over there.
Yeah, you do.
I've never had the opportunity, and I've got to make that happen.
And you have to go when you're young, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, to get off the bus tour, like, it was difficult, you know, like, being fairly young.
Right.
But I can't imagine, like, trying to hurry up and, like, go up, you know, this huge hill that's super rocky in this amount of time and then be back up on the bus leaving.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Wow, that's interesting. Where's your hubby on it? Is he into it, too?
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's mine and my wife's relationship
like,
right there.
Yeah, he's like, whatever. But, I mean, if I'm into it, then he's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Get it. That's cool, man.
Yeah. We find that, again, that's one of those dynamics that we find in relationships for the people who are, like, into the paranormal or the, you know, their partners are just completely just don't care or completely oblivious to any kind of thing. Like, you know, we're people who live in haunted houses, but you know, but the partner is just completely like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, right. I know she's not crazy, but I don't see her.
Right. Yeah. He's like very like, you know, scientific, fact-based. And I'm over here like with my poetry and the mythology.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So awesome. So now, I guess now we can get to various, what are your thoughts on Nessie?
What are your thoughts?
Your feelings on.
Do you feel like there's still something out there? I mean, is that your thought on it? I mean, do you think that there is a Loch Ness monster out there to be found or are we sort of chasing a myth, you know?
So I do not think it is living, either it's not living now, or it is not living in our world now, in our dimension.
Okay.
I very much follow the portal theories.
Okay.
Right.
I think it was great that you know, scientific expedition did find so many new caverns under the water.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. And I think, you know, the fact they didn't find anything was disappointing, but then to find that, I think maybe gave hope to a lot of searchers.
Yeah.
I just think there's, you know, so much in, you know, other dimensions and the
sure.
spirit mm-hmm. world that we don't understand yet.
Yeah.
Where do you fall with, UFOs or alien life? Does that fit into that idea of the portal? Is time stacked upon itself? Okay.
Partially. So I am a little more into the religious view of that.
Okay.
I do think that, like, demons, you know, can be either territorial demons like on Earth,
mm-hmm.
or that they can, you know, be for different planets or out in space and, you know, moving around and we don't understand what
right.
they are.
Yeah.
Or even just other spirits that aren't, you know, technically demons or angels.
Sure.
And I've read a lot about, you know, different abductions and that a lot of times they seem to really fear or freak out when Jesus is brought up and they try to teach this whole like one order and like we're the answer to everything, which I think is interesting.
Uh-huh.
I try honestly not to get into the alien stuff too much anymore.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. like it makes me kind of fearful.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And you know, of course, like there's definitely something going on with it. I mean, we have, you know, government records and everything.
Yeah.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just try not to freak out. And I know that just because something is more intelligent than us,
yeah,
doesn't mean that it's truthful and that it's going to have our best interests in mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because if there's something that's more intelligent than us, they're going to look at us the same way that we look at, like, you know, cats or even, you know, sheep. Which is always the perfect example because sheep are really, really fucking stupid. Yeah. I mean, if you've been around sheep in a farm, they're
up there with cattle. Yeah.
I mean, no, they're even dumber than cattle, man. My brother had sheep and some wild dogs attacked him.
Mm.
And when he in high school and like, I mean, they just you know, just sat there and watched one of them get
they didn't
killed.
Leave. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then just, yeah.
Yeah.
So
no survival, you know, instincts.
No, none at all. And, yeah. that's what these, you know, any superior intelligence aliens can look at us and be the same way. Because, I mean, really, you know, if you can get off planet and go intergalactic or interdimensional, then you're obviously smarter than us. So, yeah, so we're not going to be a problem. It can be a very, very scary and intimidating thought to think about the fact that they have, you know, if they have these abilities, then they can wipe us. They could surely could wipe us out.
Right. Yeah. And like, there's nothing we could do about it.
Right.
So it's
absolutely.
Okay, I'm just not going to worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to deal with all the stuff we have going on.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I tend to think that if they are out there, that they're, you know, they probably do. Maybe they do want to help us. But again, you know, maybe they just want us to finish each other off so we don't have to waste. They don't have to waste their resources. We'll just waste our own, and then they can come and take what they need afterwards. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big Star Trek fan, so I really hope for the friendly
aliens
to help us out.
Yeah.
You know, we can have
please
different.
Come in peace. You know? Yeah, you're like, please come in peace.
Please. Please.
Yeah. Okay, what about Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah. I again, it might be a whole portal thing, but yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely think someone's out there. I believe in Chupacabra.
Okay.
All of, like, most of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done any cold weather, hunting of Bigfoot or anything like that?
Just kind of like mountain areas. When we go to Colorado, we go to Colorado a lot. And so I know there's different bay stories there, not bay, but can't remember what they're called. It's like some little men that kind of are around the mine areas.
Okay.
And so I like to just walk out by myself, like in a mountain, and just kind of sit there, but nothing ever happens.
Yeah. Yeah. The mountains are magical. The mountains are a wonderful place to be.
Absolutely. Although last time I did see bear tracks, and it was like, all right, like, something happens, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But what a lovely place to die.
Yeah, right. A lovely nature, place.
Surrounded by, and then, or maybe Bigfoot would come and save you.
Yeah.
And, take you, as his bride. I don't know if Bigfoot would do that or not, but I guess.
I'm already married.
Oh, you'd have to, you would be.
I'm so sorry.
You Bigfoot heartbreaker. He comes in to, hey, Bigfoot, if you're listening, there's plenty of
fish. There's somebody out there for you.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We love the cryptids, that whole genre, I guess, of study or whatever. The chupacabra, because we're kind of like, I think, and we tend to be more. Ow! I just ran my knee into my desk. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
That was the curse of the chupacabra. I may be speaking incorrectly here, but I think we tend to think that there's more into the biological entity side of things rather than, now that doesn't exclude the fact that there could be portals and all these other things, because the more we're learning about, the fact that that parallel universes and, parallel dimensions do exist, in theory, we haven't, we're fairly certain that those, they do. We just can't cross over yet, which is probably, again, a good thing. We definitely tend to think that there is a high probability that these creatures could be biologically exist or have existed at some point. Not just Bigfoot, but also like Chupacabra and Nessie and these, because the fact that we are still discovering new species every year, day. And we're still finding species that, were thought to be extinct for, hundreds or even thousands or millions of years, like the Coelacanth.
Yeah.
We're down with that. And I want Nessie. I've loved Nessie since I was a little kid as well. I've always loved Nessie and that whole the idea of Nessie and the fact that the stories go back so far. Yeah.
Right.
I want Nessie to be a plesiosaur or something like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are saying, "Oh, it's a giant sturgeon," which are big and freaky looking. But
I don't know.
Or it's a giant eel, and I'm just like, I don't know about a giant eel.
Yeah.
And especially since, we do have fossils and everything now of marine reptiles. And even, I went and saw a fossil one time. It was a fish that was bigger than me. So, I know that people were not as tall back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I talked about Bible times. So, Jonah was swallowed by a fish, and then people try to say, the text must be wrong. It has to be some kind of whale. And then now we're like, no, actually it could have been a fish. And there's so many stories culturally around the world that talk about, huge creatures like that. Mm-hmm. And they weren't believed before, and now science is like, oh no, yeah, they were right.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, because we're finding out more, you know, we're opening up history to not just being what one, you know, from one particular source.
Yeah.
We're researching, we're finding, you know, combining histories and religions and, you know, historical, you know, stories. Yeah. To arrive at these things. And yeah, and it could have been a whale that but they didn't know a name to call it other than a fish, or it could have been a giant fish, because there's like the sunfish. I think that's one of them. There are fish out there that are still out there that could easily swallow a human being.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there are tunas that are out there that are like the size of like, you know, like a bug, a VW, you know, bug.
Oh, beetle. Yeah. Oh, for you know, sure. Like,
you know, you can fit a whole person or two in there and pile it. You know, I mean, and those things are out there now in the oceans, you know.
Yeah.
They're getting smaller in number because of overfishing, but, and, you know, pollutants and all that stuff.
What about the giant squid? 40-foot-long giant squid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And blue whale. Blue whale and all the whales, man. Yeah. They're huge. You know, so it's like, these things, these big, you know, they currently exist, and we do know of, you know, aquatic reptiles and dinosaurs that were, you know, there at the time of the dinosaurs and before, like the dinosaurs and we also forget, or we can't, or we have difficulty understanding, I should say, that the time that the dinosaurs were on Earth was like 10 times longer than humans have been on Earth, as you know. You know, or if not more, you know, I mean, it was like thousands and thousands and, you know, thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years that before, you know, before humankind popped up as it were, or even in the beginning as where it were, you know, I mean, so those things exist. We know it. We're fortunate even to have the relics that we do, fossils, with all the numbers of fossils and everything.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's amazing. Well, 'cause
if you drew that in a, you know, if you, we said before that, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, the mm-hmm. aliens live in the water. I mean, look at the octopus.
Yeah, dude.
If you were to show somebody that grew up that didn't know, ever seen an octopus, they wouldn't believe it, you know?
Or what's the fish that have the light? Little hanging light?
Yeah.
Oh, those are terrifying.
Yeah. You go down into the deep and the murky stuff, you get in some real scary looking creatures, man. Yeah. They are very alien-esque because they're so freaky. Yeah, like the anglerfish, I think that's or a type of
anglerfish. Yeah.
You know, where they're just so bizarre.
Right.
Like what the blobfish or whatever they call that. That thing is so ugly and weird. And it's basically
I read that, like, the blobfish, the picture they keep showing is when it's dead.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
And it doesn't actually, like, look that weird when it's live.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well,
it's got the name blobfish somewhere.
I know. We're all going to go look it up after this.
You know, it's not going to win any, you know.
Yeah. Jellyfish are weird.
It's not going to win The Bachelor.
Yeah.
It could be a cute blob. don't body shame.
I apologize to all the blobfish and blobfish listeners in Weirdsville. So I have no room to speak. So,
but it's crazy. It really is. That's a subject that is fascinating because, you know, there's been so many creatures that haven't made it through. You know, look at a crocodile, you know, look at something like that. It's just like, it's a feeding machine. That's what a shark is. I mean, that's all they do is just hunt, you know,
and
feed. And
crocodiles and sharks and turtles have been around since the time of the dinosaurs.
Right. Yeah,
they know.
Yeah,
they're in earlier. You know, they've been around. They survived all that time, and you know, with very little need to, you know, change through, you know, evolution, because they are the peak performance of what they are, what they need.
Yeah,
you know, your top aquatic, predator is the shark.
Yeah,
you know, the various forms of shark, just like in, you know, alligators and crocodiles. You know, they can take on, you know, the hippos and other large animals. It's, you know, the biodiversity. That's the word. The biodiversity of our planet is so amazing that to limit it to say this cannot exist because we haven't found it yet is almost, I mean, almost, you know, almost impossible kind of a thing. I mean, there may not, there probably were never Pegasuses. You know, there were probably not a horse with bird wings. I get that. But there could have been some kind of a horse that had some kind of a weird growth, and that was a unicorn kind of thing.
Who knows?
Or unicorns could have been just rhinos that people misunderstood.
Right.
You know, misunderstood.
So there was like, you know, like tales. Yeah. Like that's probably what they were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I've read that a couple of times. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of science, well, a lot of historians, a lot of scientists theorize because they can't quite prove it, but they think that all of the, like the stories of dragons from, you know, earlier human times from, you know, just a mere 2,000 years ago or even 500 years ago or whatever, whenever we thought dragons were dragons, you know, flying through the sky, you know, they think a lot of those and other creatures of myth, fantastic creatures of myth, were just, you know, the bones of like dinosaurs or, you know, woolly mammoths or all these things. Cause like when you look at their skulls and their skeletons, they are look radically different than what they would look like if they had, you know, their actual full bodies. I think there's a really famous example of this that you can find on the internet where it's the skull of a hippo that if you look at it and you extrapolate from the skull of the hippo, what it would look like, kind of creature thing, just an artistic interpretation. Mm-hmm. And it looks like this scary monster. And then when we look at it, as we actually know, it's just this, you know, it's a hippo. It's a happy looking hippo, you know, it's just so bizarre, you know? So
I don't remember what animal, maybe, it's an elephant or a mammoth. I can't remember what it was. Something without the tusks. It looks like a cyclops.
Yes. Bull. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that's exactly one of them. And I think it is a mammoth that it, cause there's this large hole in the center where, because we know what human skulls look like and we have forever, you know, seeing this that looks roughly humanoid or, you know, the shape of it, at least for the top part, and that giant hole in the center, that's where, you know, people think that's possibly one of the origins of the giant cyclops that we get in, like, the Odyssey and stuff like that. Yeah. It's fascinating because, you know, like, these are the stories that come down through our oral history and our traditions and our histories and stories and stuff. And then, but there's always a kernel of truth in there somewhere where these things have these kind of things. And it could be that it turns out that, you know, Nessie was real, or at least it was whenever Nessie first started popping up, or for the first, you know, 100 years or so. But, you know, maybe Nessie's gone. Maybe Nessie's still around, but it goes through into another dimension. You know, maybe Loch Ness is the bathroom of the office of whatever dimension that Nessie really is in, you know? I mean, pop over. Yeah.
Just came in to take a leak. Yeah.
I don't know.
What do you think about Atlantis? I know we're jumping all over the place, but what do you think about Atlantis? Do you think Atlantis existed?
I have no idea what went on there. I've listened. Yeah, I've read stuff. I've listened to stuff. And it's wild, man. It's like,
it's what I think is mind blowing about it. If you look back at ancient Egypt and what they were able to accomplish and like the records that they kept and all that, and like to have a civilization that was pre that and the Greeks, like, I find it fascinating. I don't know a ton about it, but I like to, you know, think about that. Like, you know, if we're talking about, you know, our sort of history on Earth and all that kind of stuff, that's a huge part of the human story that we just, you know, it's been buried by time, and, we may never get to the bottom of it, but I think it's cool to think about. Did you see, Ancient Apocalypse, the series on Netflix?
I don't think so.
Did you watch that? It's a really good, dive into humanity's like history, you know, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle like together a little bit.
And like a lot of like, you know, prehistory, what's they call it? Antediluvian, the flood that is throughout every culture. There's the great flood that wiped out the earth, you know, like the flood, the great flood in the Bible and all of that. And, you know, and it's a lot about talking about like civilizations that could have predated that and things that we're finding that are older than what we used to think was the oldest and all of that. And it's, so it's really, it's kind of a alternative speculative history thing, but it's really cool. I don't think there's any Nessie in it, but still it's a really fun thing.
Yeah, it's cool. It's, you know, it's because you're trying to read what is the art telling us along with the artifacts. You know, what is the story that they're trying to tell? And one of the interesting things is they go to the Serpent Mound here in the U.S. And the way that that thing is configured is the nose of the serpent is looking directly at what is it, the North Star, what are the celestial alignments? And if you tick the clock back, they get to an alignment within, you know, a few thousand years ago, you know, of when this thing was constructed. And what Graham Hancock tried to piece together was what were they so concerned about that they built structures toward the stars? And he thinks it was because we were getting hit with a lot of comets and things. And that was the great reset, you know, the last impact that we had that killed out the dinosaurs and whatnot. If you're into that kind of thing, you know, where did we come from out of that 11,000, 12,000, 14,000 years ago? They're finding cities that are totally buried on purpose. They were created, they were constructed, and they were filled in for some purpose. And they think that it could have been because they were trying to preserve what they had, and they went underground. They built a huge, huge tunnel system city that was like 11 stories tall and would have housed tens of thousands of people. And it's really, really fascinating. I can't recommend that series enough. It's really, because he's not a scientist. He was a writer, and he got into, he was a journalist, and he got into this stuff when he started researching some things for some stories, and he just got way sucked into it. And but people don't like him. Historians don't like him because they think, oh, he's thinking outside of the box. And that's just not, you know, that's the issue that we get into. Same thing in Egypt. You know, they're coming out and they're saying, hey, this Egypt could be 15,000-20,000 years old because of the water damage that are on a lot of the statues and things like that. Like, but the Egyptologists, they don't want to think outside because they have made their living on what they've said is true, you know? It's a firm date.
Plus, we know that the Sphinx was ancient by the time that they started building pyramids.
Right. It was already thousands or however many, you know. Yeah. See, we jump all over the place.
Now too. So, since you brought up serpent, I'm gonna talk a little bit about my poem that Nessie kind of inspired.
Okay.
So, all right. So,
great.
I did say, you know, that I'm into like, you know, mythology as well as like biblical history and like symbolism and stuff. So, I basically made Bible fan fiction you know, how there's like Paradise Lost and stuff like that. This is like that, but for the Garden of Eden. And in it, the serpent is a sea serpent. And so, yeah, it's fun. And like, it kind of explains that Adam was, you know, really attracted to the serpent, the sea serpent, because of its adventurous side and all of its deep knowledge, you know, in the water that, you know, God didn't tell them about. So, yeah. And so
yeah,
it was just kind of fun to do that and make it that the fruit, the infamous fruit that they ate, was like a glowy kind of fruit that was under the water. So getting into the whole anglerfish thing.
Interesting.
And, yeah, just fun.
Nice.
And yeah, because I have a little bit of like Chimera stuff in here. And yeah, just try to like incorporate a little bit of mythology and stuff like that in my writing.
So you have a collection. Do you have have you published?
Yes, I released it in January of this year.
Okay.
It took me over a decade to fully write everything and make images for each poem.
Oh, cool.
And at the end, I also have a short story and it's kind of about Faye. I don't want to be like super, like what it is a twist. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm really big into twists. I'm a whole M. Night Shyamalan kind of fan. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
The Village.
Yeah.
You know The Village, that movie?
I do too.
I love that movie.
I'm a big fan of M. Night. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So how much of your time is spent with writing?
Write a lot? I definitely go
every day
into like phases. Oh, I'm always into phases. So like, you know, I'll do like a painting phase, I'll do and so that's probably why it took me so long to like piece all of my poetry, my writing phases together finally, you know, get it done. And also to kind of have the topics a bit related in a way. It's called Twisted Affections. So it's all about different relationships that are like toxic or kind of off. And so not just romantic, but between like, you know, a parent and child, multi-generational, a person with their, you know, dog, you know, friendships, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, you know, just
that's
like
awesome.
Looking at
that's
relationships
awesome.
And topics that aren't really talked about very much. Mm-hmm. And then, because I think it's a good way to look at it and decide, I don't want to live that way anymore. You know, if you identify with it.
So. Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, that's awesome. Anytime you can share something that comes from you and there's a message there for people to get is a wonderful thing. And we celebrate artists on here of all types. Mm-hmm. And I believe everyone's got some art in them somewhere. You know, even if it's your job, even if you are, you know, a master of a skill.
Yes.
You know, everyone expresses themselves in some way. And that's awesome that that's out there for people to check out. And, you know, and bring people a little discussion maybe they can have with themselves. I love poetry because your best poets can hit you in a spot and make you think. And what I love about poetry too, you got to be to the point. You know, you got to get the thing. You don't have 125 pages
like
to burn.
Short stories,
you know, trying to condense. Yes.
And trying to look at something from a different
condense
way, which I think is, you know, like it's exactly what y'all do. And people who are into paranormal and cryptids is they're trying to look at, you know, biology and the physical world, but in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. What are the possibilities? What are we aware of? What can we grasp right now within our own lives, let alone on the grand scale of humans? You know, it's like everybody's got their own day-to-day stuff that they deal with. This is an opportunity for us to talk, and we get to walk in the shoes of someone like yourself that, you know, has these stories and these things to talk about. And by the way, this couldn't be more different than the podcast we just did an hour ago. I mean, it's proof that good conversations can happen no matter what angle they're coming
and
from.
And shared interest, you know, you can share an interest or share your interests with people and discuss those things and learn from each other and learn about each other through, through your
Even though we're so different.
Exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing is nobody's right. trying to change anybody's minds. Yep. Nobody's trying to say what you said isn't real, or everybody's got their own thing. And we're just happy that we get to talk to people like yourself. You know, have you ever thought about doing a podcast,
or
do you do a podcast currently?
I think I've recorded for like 7 different podcasts, but with different homes. Okay. So I've done like several for like mothers and like postpartum depression kind of stuff, because that's one of the poems. And yeah, so now I was like, now I was like, okay, let me get into the like Nessie paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll we'll see what I go with next.
What was
doing a podcast tour?
That's cool.
I've also done live readings at different places. And with the wig and my persona and everything. And yeah, so it's been fun.
Awesome. So what is the name of the book?
It's called Twisted Affections.
Twisted Affections?
Yes, by Perla K. Carino. And it is on Amazon in paperback and ebook. And I will be recording for audiobooks.
Cool.
Okay. Nice. Could I ask you to bless us, please, with the poem? Sure. Would you mind?
I'm not going to do the Nessie one, though, because it is very long.
Okay. Hey, you just take your choice. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Your choice.
Alrighty. I will do Chimera.
Okay.
All right. And I just want to show you guys the image. It's like very science-y.
Yeah.
Oh, very
cool. So it's not so much.
Yeah. It's very cool.
Has like images of species of like different animals, and then you know human DNA. Because it's not so much of the mythological chimera, but you know the science one.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
The rabbit in you was soft from tail to ear. Your gentle beauty seemed to double your size, but you did not know when to bail in fear from predators seeking you as a prize. The snake in you absorbed others' venom like a sponge until you stopped hesitating to strike. You began to even lunge at harmless and helpful creatures alike. The falcon in you was too fierce to sing, and from mountaintops you dive. Then an injury to your agile wing made you wish that any help would arrive. The turtle in you decided to hide in a safe shell that was all your own. Yet as you grew, you felt restricted inside, a rigid cell made of tough bone. The human in you has tapped into the lessons you've learned in every joyful or difficult time. It'll be much easier to adapt since you've earned all this knowledge to now use, though you're past your prime.
Damn.
And I had to include a turtle in there because I have a tortoise. But I'm a big animal person. Mm. So like I've had a snake with the whole sea star thing. I guess it's not surprising that I had a snake for over 10 years. So
that's awesome.
Yes. Thank you for
awesome. That was a great poem.
Because that's what you're supposed to really do after reading.
Yeah,
you don't clap. Now,
yep,
that's right.
Yep.
You know how I am with the beats, man. I love the beat.
Yep.
Very cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome.
Well, thank you again, Perla, for joining us. And this has been a really fun conversation. And we definitely, I think you've inspired me and Barry to go to take a trek to Loch Ness someday together before we're terribly old men. You know,
till your bones are too.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need a new ad for our merch store.
our merch store.
I've had a few people reach out to me and ask me, just how do we get What's Your Weird Story merch?
Huh, how do we get that What's Your Weird Story merch?
What's-your, spelled Y-E-R, dash, weird, dash, story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's what's dash your, spelled Y-E-R dash weird dash story dot myspreadshop dot com.
That's correct. Get in touch with us. Go buy some merch. We got some cool stuff.
Yeah, dude. And you know what? If any of our listeners out there has some really cool ideas or has some really cool What's Your Weird Story type art that they want to see on a t-shirt, get a hold of us. Maybe it'll happen.
Perla, thank you for coming on. Nessie is always such a fun topic, and I wish we had more Nessie stories. And she really had a fun adventure.
Dude, yeah, and kind of an accidental one, you know. I mean, by seeing all of it, really, is by chance, you know. By chance, seeing the news when she's little and the video that the helicopter shot over the Gulf of Mexico, you know, of this outlined form that was, you know, some kind of sea creature and appeared to be not a whale but a plesiosaur, and then finding herself going to Scotland and then, you know, kind of accidentally being on a bus that takes a stop at Loch Ness.
Right.
And doing her own discovery. And she's included the photos of some of the rocks that she found.
Oh, great.
And I did some amateur geology on it. And to me, it looks like pyrite.
Okay.
Which is a metallic looking not element, but, you know, rock.
Yeah.
And it's often called fool's gold.
Okay.
It's got, and it comes, and it's like very cubic, like it's got like forms in like cubes and stuff. So that, you know, or, but I'm not sure if that's it or not, you know, because I'm not a field trained geologist.
Not yet.
You know,
not yet.
No, you never know. But,
you know, my dad's got into, cleaning rocks and polishing rocks.
Oh yeah,
he's way deep in it, man. He's got four of these. They're
tumblers.
They're tumblers, man. So he has taken it to the next level.
Is he making jewelry or is he?
No, he's just
rocks.
Just rocks, man. And he hands them out to everybody. It's he's way into it, man. It is really it's quite the hobby for sure. But
constant, just walking around with a pocket full of polished rocks and handing them out to people.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Yeah. But dad. But no, there's something about the water and the creatures that live in the water that will always spark our fascination, because there are so many parts of the world that are really undiscovered when we're talking about water. There's only so much we can do down there and only so much information. I know there's been so many explorations of that area, and they can never really say that, you know, it's absolutely not, you know, a fact or not. It's just the door's always open.
Yeah. Well, they're always going to say, you know, I mean, science is going to be like, no, Nessie. But, you know, that's not going to stop the people who believe it, who've seen it.
Absolutely.
You know, and just like Perla said, it could be that, you know, they can't find Nessie because there's so many, like, caves and underwater right. caves and you know, that creature could swim through.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, and they could be portals, and they could be a metaphysical kind of thing, could be a spiritual creature or a pan-dimensional creature. We just don't know. And of course, that Spond is talking about, you know, getting her thoughts on like Bigfoot, and she's never gone after Bigfoot, and you know, other cryptids, but she believes in you know, and is a big fan of cryptids and in creatures in mythology as well.
Yep.
Which again led to some really cool discussions, and her poetry, you know, it inspires her for poetry, and which is incredible. And we thank Perla for sharing one of her poems with us, the Chimera.
Absolutely, absolutely. And where can we get her book?
It is Twisted Affections, and I believe you can get it on Amazon. And her name there is Perla K. Carino. So that's P-E-R-L-A, letter K, and then Carino, C-A-R-I-N-O. And the N has the... India or the twirl, whatever. I forget what it's called. I'm blanking. I know what it is.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
it's got the
yeah.
mustache on top.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes.
It's a hairpiece.
Right,
it
right.
The toupee.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Perla. We appreciate the conversation, and we appreciate her taking the time to hang out with us, for sure.
Yes, and we appreciate you, Weirdsvilles, for taking the time to hang out with us as well. And for being part of Weirdsville. And also, hey, you know what? It's Pride Month, Barry, and we want to wish all of our Weirdsville listeners a happy Pride Month, especially those who are in the LGBTQ+ community. We love you as we love all of our weird villains, and we celebrate Pride with you and honor you and your lives and journeys.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, thank you again, Weirdsville, for listening. We hope to see you next time here on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. We've got so much good stuff coming.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, they keep coming. They keep coming.
It's just fantastic. We've been so fortunate, but we still are always looking for more. So hit us up. Send us an email with your story at wywspod@gmail.com or through our social media sites. Contact us to schedule an appointment, interview appointment, or just type out that story and have it read on the air, and we will have that read on the air, or well, internet air, I guess, the digits, the digital code, the ones and O's,
however that works. Yeah,
yeah. All right, well, you know, hey, with us, with me especially getting a little punchy like this, it's time for us to cut out. So thanks again, Weirdsville. We love you. Be safe,
be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.